This is the critique, therefore, of Spinoza, and his impact is enormous. Every subsequent thinker must deal with the implications of his position. In other words, we've really set up a situation here to define what modern Jewish thought is. Modern Jewish thought, as I've already said, is a response to Spinoza. Spinoza makes the hardest argument possible. He presents the secular world and says, look, everything that you stand for in being a Jew has no purpose, has no relevance, has no legitimacy in the age that we now live in. If morality and ethics are the essence of religiosity, I can be ethical without religiosity. And I can seek the truth more directly without Judaism. And also, as you will see, without Christianity. And therefore, every Jewish thinker who believes as an insider, remember the word insider, a person that believes ultimately to remain Jewish, but somehow needs to alter Judaism to fit into the outside world. Every insider who still believes that Judaism is worth preserving must confront Spinoza's argument. And that is why remarkable to see that already in the 18th century, the 19th century, even in the 20th century, Spinoza is almost lurking behind the surface. He is there. He needs a response to. You cannot avoid this argument. This is the argument of the secular world. And here, now, it has been legitimated by one of the greatest philosophers of the modern era. Reason has now come to judge the Bible on its own assumptions, and thus has negated the possibility of reconciling reason and faith, the primary objective of Maimonides and those who followed after him. Or to put it in Spinoza's own words, the human mind must be allowed to search for truth, unhampered by dogma, for the free activity of mind is the highest form of piety. Not ceremonial law, not mitzvot, but using your mind is the most pious act. Spinoza had therefore argued persuasively against perpetuating Judaism as a particular faith and community. Religion is only meaningful, and here is the other side of the coin, is only meaningful when it is universal, when it is shared by all human beings, without particular barriers between Christians, Jews, Muslims, anyone else. This was the other side of the secular argument, the universality of all universal, of all human experience. You can't talk about God, you can't talk about morality, you can't talk about ethics, you can't talk about the right way, and only limit it to Jews. Jews don't have a separate morality. The only meaning of morality is when it transcends its particular context. When Jews are concerned as well about Christians, and Christians are concerned about Jews, and each is concerned about the other. In other words, this is not only a rational critique, it is an argument for the universality of the human condition, not specifically a Jewish condition or a Christian condition. Now let us add one more interesting point here. As I said, when the Theological Political Treatise was first published in 1670, it was published without a name. Spinoza wasn't worried about Jews. He couldn't care less if they were offended, if they were not offended. He had removed himself from the Jewish community, and they could not touch him. They, of course, tried to excommunicate him. They issued what is called in Hebrew a cherem. But, of course, it was a meaningless gesture. It didn't hurt him. It didn't affect him. He still had friends. He still interacted with his social peers. But clearly, he was concerned about Christianity. And indeed, he had good reason to be concerned. Because if you read the book correctly, it is not only about Judaism, it is also about Christianity. Every one of the assumptions about rationality, about faith and reason, about the notion of God, about the way we should see the world, could be applied as well to Christians as well as to Jews. How does Spinoza really deal with the issue? Jesus is mentioned throughout the Theological Political Treatise as a kind of a prophet who had begun the process of universalizing the religious experience. But the real hero of this book, as Spinoza singles him out, is not Jesus, but Paul. Why Paul? You recall that Paul's major task as the Christian disciple of Jesus was to universalize the Christian faith. You don't have to be Jewish any longer to be Christian. Up until his time, the Judeo-Christians were indeed a sect that had emerged out of Judaism. They were part of a panorama of sects, Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and so on, that coincided, that existed together within this complex society of Second Temple Judaism in the ancient world.